Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Noah, and I am joined by...
The Grinch!
Keeping the Grinch bit going through the whole season.
I figured I have to at this point.
Yeah, what did I say last time? No, no, Noah! Oh, man.
I guess I could do, like, Rudolph or something.
Nah, the Grinch is better. And it's like, you can just be like, the Grinch!
And then the Grinch! Done.
I went to a, like a little, it wasn't really a play, but it wasn't really like a concert either. It was like five people on stage, and I guess they were playing a family, but I don't really know their names. And it was like, they were singing Christmas songs, and in between the songs, they like did like a little story thing. And so they were like, apparently like a family that was out at Christmas Eve in the middle of the woods, just like singing Christmas carols and reading from this book that had like different Christmas stories in it. It was very weird. It was geared for kids and old people, so it just wasn't like for me. But at one point there was the gay coded kid. I mean, he was like probably 25 playing the kid, but he was the gay coded one. And he had very tight red pants. And like at one point he was like, why don't you read a story, Johnny? That was like his mom or something. And he was like, sure. And he ripped off his shirt. And it had like underneath, he had like a big shirt with just the face of the Grinch on. And then he sang the entire song, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, by himself, and like danced across the stage. And it was the most like embarrassing thing I've ever seen.
I don't really have words.
It was at one point he grabbed like a candy cane off the stage. Like it was like a full size big candy cane that you could hold. And he was using it as a cane. And then like he like smashed it down on the ground and it like bent almost about to break because it was like plastic. So like he was trying to use it as like a prop, but then he like hit it on the ground and it bent and he like kind of pushed down with it. So it was just all around interesting performance. And so now when I have the last like 2 weeks, every time I hear about the Grinch, I just see that guy's face
interesting.
In my mind.
Thank you for sharing.
If anyone's the in the New England area, a White Mountain Christmas might not be worth the $25 to spend. I would not recommend, but you know, unless you're under the age of 10 or over the age of 60. So there you go. Anyway, this is an episode about 2022 holiday releases, which I don't know if people really keep track of that much. Like, I don't think people are always like, I wonder what are the Christmas movies that are coming out this year. But we keep doing the episodes because it's
an easy win.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
It's always interesting to see, because obviously, like, both of us really like Christmas movies, and mm-hmm. specifically, like, ones from the past that would have been new at some point. But, like, it's always so interesting to see what people make now, because I do think a lot of Christmas movies get a bad rap because they're Christmas movies. But, like, some of the greatest movies of all time are Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Like, It's Wonderful Life, Home Alone. Like, movies that changed the landscape of film, but they're also Christmas movies. So
exactly.
I always hope every year that there's going to be, like, a standout Christmas movie that's, like, the next best Christmas movie. And it hasn't happened yet since we've done this podcast.
Well,
I think Klaus...
We've had some good ones, like Klaus.
Klaus, I think, was close. I think it was close, but I don't think it was there yet. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, we haven't gotten another Arthur Christmas yet. Like, we're not...
My Arthur Christmas is Last Christmas. That's the one that will stand the test of time for me. And I don't think Klaus gave enough, like, promotion either. Like, it has sometimes less to do with the quality of the movie and more to do with, like, the studio or whoever's making it has to try to, like, push it as, like, the next big Christmas movie as well. I just don't think as many people would be aware of Klaus if you asked them.
But one year, it's going to happen. Maybe it'll be next year.
Yeah. Is it this year? Probably not. But maybe we can get into that in some of these ones that maybe we were hoping were going to be maybe new standard classics to watch year round. and maybe why they are not. I mean, these aren't all bad, but I wouldn't say any of them would fall under the umbrella of, yeah, ones that I would watch multiple times or even again. We've broken this up into smaller releases. So ones that like maybe aren't as tentpole. And then after the ad break, we'll get into maybe some of the bigger ones that have big names attached or are part of a series. Let's just get right into it with our smaller releases category. The four movies we have in here are two Netflix originals and two HBO Max originals. HBO Max has been dipping their toes, I feel like, into the pantheon of like original Christmas movies.
Yeah, I was surprised because I think really the only one that had gotten publicity was the Christmas Story Christmas. And last year they did 8-Bit Christmas. So that was kind of their beginning.
8-Bit Christmas was good.
That was a fun one. And then this year, Christmas Story Christmas was kind of the big one. But then they had like at least three other movies.
Yeah.
One of them we didn't get around to watching, Holiday Harmony. But these other two, at least, I watched both of them, and you watched one of them. So Hollywood Christmas was one that I watched, and that one basically was it plays on the tropes, you know? Like, I think Hallmark did one of this year, too, basically, where the people are making a Christmas romance movie, but then there's, like, a Christmas romance movie happening, and it was very self-aware, which I think gave it a lot of like funny jokes. Like there was a side character who was like, oh my gosh, like you and the guy who like took over the studio, like this is obviously the Christmas movie and this and this. And so I think it had some clever bits, and obviously the quality was much better because like it's made by it has a lot of money, has a higher budget, but for me, this one, the chemistry between the characters was, like, non-existent.
Oh.
And so I, like, didn't even care that they were together because I was like, these are just normal characters. Like, there was nothing, any kind of spark between them. So I think that's where this one suffered. I think it could have been. There were definitely some jokes that you could tell were they were trying too hard. Like, the writing wasn't amazing. But it was enough that I was like, this could have been a lot better if the chemistry was there. So I would I give this one a thumbs down. I would say avoid this one.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for this one, and I was actually it got me a little more intrigued because I think like it's a cool premise, but like you said, if the chemistry isn't there, your whole movie kind of falls apart with these.
Yeah,
kind of things,
I think the side plots worked. Like there were some funny things, and it was corny enough that like it wasn't overdone, you know. But the chemistry of the two main, like the main relationship just didn't work.
Yeah, well, that sucks for that. The other HBO Max one that we both watched is A Christmas Mystery. And this is actually one of the few that is not just like a rom-com, because I feel like that's been the recent lean for a lot of Christmas movies is to go the rom-com route, especially for the streaming services. But this is more of like a family, kids geared mystery movie about these two kids that are trying to solve a case. The main character's dad is like the town sheriff, I guess, and so like she doesn't like the way the investigation's being run or something, and then like so she tries to help him but without asking him. So it's kind of like kid detective fair. I was excited for this one only because Violet McGraw, I think, is good like child actress. She was in The Haunting of Hill House, which we are both big fans of, and then she'll be in Megan in like next month, so she might be due for a breakout pretty soon. I think if like we were predicting, Megan might be a little bit more popular like on TikTok and stuff. It might be like her big break.
My mom had never seen Hill House, obviously, so she's not really familiar with Violet. And after, she was like, wow, who's that little... That little girl was, like, really good in this. Like, she needs to be in more stuff. And I was like, yeah, she was good. I mean, this movie isn't amazing by any means.
No.
I do think that it was good. I think it had a lot going for it. But I think the two main kids... And then one of the side... older kids was good, But the two,
the girl
was
not,
good. The guy was horrible.
Not, the guy
was
really
a horrible
bad.
Actor. I'm so very sorry to him. But the girl was very good. But yeah, the two main kids really sold this movie for sure. Both, I don't know the other little boy's name, but he was really good, I thought, as well.
Yeah, I think they sold it, like you said, there, and especially her performance, was really the main reason to watch it, I would say. And I was also, I was worried going in. It kind of was, but it also wasn't. It was weird. I was worried it was going to be a full copaganda movie, but it was, at one point, maybe with the ending, it was kind of not. I don't know. It was, it was and it wasn't. So it was an interesting watch. Sheriff Terry, Deputy Terry, I guess, not a great time for him, but it, for everyone, it was, I thought it was fun. And I think for families, I think it is a really fun one because it's really short and it's
and it's got some funny stuff in it. And I think, I definitely think that this one is a thumbs up for me. And I could almost see them making this a series. I could see them doing more with these kids in the future. I don't know if they would ever do that, but I could see them doing a sequel next Christmas of them solving some other Christmas mystery.
Oh, did you know the same person that directed A Christmas Mystery also directed A Hollywood Christmas?
I saw that. I did see that.
So this guy, Alex Ronaravello, I think is, now maybe going to be the new HBO Max
Christmas
director.
Guy?
Who knows? This movie kind of just felt like a kid's mystery novel, which I thought was fun. That's kind of the vibe it gave me.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, if I had watched this when I was 10 years old, I would have thought this was so cool.
Yes.
Every kid wants, maybe not every kid, but a lot of kids want to be a cool detective and are into those. And I was always into Encyclopedia Brown and those kind of things. Cut there. But
yeah, let's keep the theme going with kids or family geared Christmas movies with your next movie here that you watched. Scrooge, A Christmas Carol. I haven't watched this one, so is it kid family or
yes,
is it one of the series?
It's kid, okay. kid. It is so...
Okay, major kid.
Yeah, major kid. It's not like Klaus where you can watch it. It's definitely geared toward children, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's not made for both audiences. This was not great. I don't know. It's just not. It was very forgettable. Some of the animation was kind of weird. It just was very boring. If you look at the Letterboxd reviews, which is kind of funny, Scrooge is basically they made him look really attractive. Not that I find animated Scrooge attractive, but you know what I mean? He's not a curmudgeonly old man. He is. Yeah, a lot of the Letterboxd reviews were why did they make Scrooge a silver fox? Why is Scrooge a dilf? which is so funny. But the two things I thought were okay about this. I think some of the animation was clever, but I think it was way too, we've talked about this before. With children's content, it's too overstimulating in my mind. There was just so much color and so much going on that it felt too overwhelming, I guess, in the way that it was animated. It was a musical, and surprisingly, some of the music...
Wow, this is a big cast, too. The cast is pretty big.
Yeah, and it has, a pretty... as far as I remember, when I looked at it, the cast was actually a decent cast too.
Yeah, it's Luke Evans, Olivia Colman, Jesse Buckley, Jonathan Pryce. These are some big names. And did they sing?
Yes. Or was it yes? And okay, the music was good. So I was actually surprised because we've talked about Netflix musicals in the past that the music has not been good. Jingle jangle, but this one The music bopped for some reason. The movie was bad, but for some reason the music went really hard. So that was a win. And there was also a dog. Scrooge had a dog, which was kind of funny. So there was this dog animal sidekick involved. And that iconic. I thought was a fun addition to the story. But overall, very boring. Give it a thumbs down. don't recommend.
Yeah, this feels like Netflix has gone where they'll make like one kids movie or two kids movies during the holidays, and they'll do like a few of the I don't know, what am I saying, like the Hallmark style, which we'll talk about. And I feel like though what they were missing this year was another movie in the Princess Switch or the Christmas Prince vein.
Oh,
they just didn't have like one of their tentpole, or they need to start maybe like a new series, because I feel like that's one thing that they were missing this year. Like, because they always have like some kid ones, and then they have some like ones that you've never heard of and that will just get thrown into their content bin.
Well, yeah, because the past few years, like we had like Christmas Chronicles, and that's still like a pretty big one that people rewatch, both one and two. Last year they did The Boy Called Christmas. So I feel like they've kind of done a sort of big, I mean, Klaus one year. So like they sort of have these bigger budget kids ones that they promote, but for some reason this year I feel like it just didn't happen.
The one I'm going to talk about, The Noel Diary, is maybe one of the best examples of not using a budget, cuz this movie looks like so bad. It looks like it was made with like no lighting equipment, maybe like the cheapest camera they could have found that still makes it look like a movie. this is a movie with Justin Hartley, who we actually both like from This Is Us.
Yeah, he's a very good actor.
Yeah, I haven't really seen him in anything else. I'm wondering if he might be one of those where he's a little one note, because I feel like this performance was just a very toned down version of that character, but like without any of the depth, because you just don't know anything else about him, you know? Like you don't have any of his backstory, so he loses a lot of the character depth there. So I'm not sure. I guess I'll have to see maybe like now that that show's over, if he starts doing more things like how he is in those movies, because it wasn't super impressed by this performance. But the movie in general, it's like the script is really, really bad. It's basically like this famous author. He's a famous author, and his mom dies, and he goes to clean out her house. And then there is a woman who shows up at the house and is looking for her mom, because apparently her mom was his like nanny, and they go on a road trip to find out where her mom would be. And like, they think his dad might know, but he's estranged from his dad. So it's all over the place. It's not really clear a lot of times, like why, like where they're going sometimes, or like, I don't know, like if it drags, and the dialogue is just really bad, and there's no chemistry between either of the leads. So it makes the dialogue even worse. And then there's like the reconciliation scene with his dad that is so cheesy. It's like he heals all of his trauma from childhood trauma over his dad leaving, and like one montage of them decorating the Christmas tree. There was just some really bad parts. And also there was one thing that I thought was like our internet connection, but it happened so many times that I look back and I don't think it was, where it would like the frames would stutter randomly, where like it would go in slow motion for like a few seconds, like 15 frames per second. And the first few times I thought maybe that's just like the connection, because it wasn't at any like particular parts where it should have been doing that. But then I rewound like a couple times and it happened at the same spot like every time. So it's like, I don't know if there was like a intention, because it's not during parts where like it should go to slow motion. It's just like they're turning around and then it goes like some slow motion and then they go forward. I don't know. It's a very badly made movie. I think I gave this half a star.
Yikes.
Half a star or one. It's just really, really bad. But it was also kind of funny, because like we were laughing at it because I thought it was just incredible how bad it was. So, you know, maybe if you're in the mood for that, it might be a so bad it's good kind of movie. But I don't know. There might be other better ones out there as well that are so bad it's good.
Maybe so. Yeah, that was one that I didn't get a chance to get around to. I wish I could have.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, at this point, I think I will be watching it. But I wish I could have watched it.
You did a good job at splitting
this.
It up, I think. Like, yeah. Splitting up the pain.
Splitting up
like
the bad ones.
Yeah, you got Scrooge and I got The Noel Diary.
And I got Hollywood Christmas as well.
Also, I know that authors are famous, but are they so famous that they would have like pictures on the side of buses driving by, or like people recognize them in the street? Like,
no.
I feel like there's very few authors that, and he was like he's not like a Stephen King.
Yeah, I was like, literally about to say, unless you're like series. Stephen King or like Neil Gaiman, like someone who exactly. actually is like literally one of the most iconic authors of all time. I yeah. don't know.
Yeah, it seemed very unrealistic. I was like, I don't think authors would get this much like publicity.
Yeah, like Stephen King even is really the only author I could think of that
I would recognize. Yeah.
Like if, there's like, authors that I might recognize, but they're like mostly like small authors that I just like happen to follow. But like in terms mm-hmm. of like a big author that would be like someone who the majority of people on a street would recognize, I really think Stephen King would be like the only one.
Yeah, well, so another knock against the Noel Diary. Let's go to a quick ad break, and then when we come back, we will be talking about some of the bigger releases of the year.
And we're back! Ho, 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 and a Merry Christmas!
Ho, ho, ho. And a season's greetings. How do we want to tackle this one? We've got... Let's just go down the list. So we're starting off with Marvel's second step, if you count Iron Man 3, into the holiday realm with Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. At first, I said to like this out loud when before I started watching it. I was like, man, I feel like I haven't seen the Guardians of the Galaxies in a while. And my mom was like, well, they were in Thor 4. And I was like, oh, right, they were. I just totally spaced Thor 4 out of my mind. Thor yeah. Love and Thunder. So
I mean, they were
yes,
barely in that.
Technically the second time we have seen them this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, and this is technically the end. This was technically the final thing in Phase 4.
Mmm. Kind of a weird, like,
weird
if they include this
closing.
In the phase. Like, I mean, I guess there is one, like, quote-unquote reveal that would maybe impact the fourth movie. Or I guess, no, it's the third movie. But I don't know if, like, it's that integral to the canon. But
yeah,
I guess we'll see
I don't know
in the future. So what did you think about Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special?
I thought it
mouthful of a
I
name.
I thought it was horrible.
L. That yeah.
Yeah, I could not understand the point of it at all. Like by the time it was done, I was like, why was this made? Like I could, because this is one that obviously I like the Guardians. And so I wasn't over the moon about this.
You're like, I can't wait.
But I was like, oh, you know, another thing with the Guardians. Fun. Like, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
But I just thought, like, I feel like there's so many other things they could have done with this to make it more fun, I guess, or more engaging. And I feel like they just went the wrong route with it, I guess. Like, I just think it would have been more fun to do just, like, a generic holiday thing, even just in their world. Because, like, part of it is them going back to America and all that and whatever. But I think if they had just done some sort of other holiday thing, it might have been more interesting. Mm. I don't know. I just thought it was really dumb. And I thought the jokes didn't work. And I just didn't think it was funny or interesting or engaging.
I didn't like the first half. I liked the second half. I think it took a really long time for it to, like, lock in to the tone. And then, but I liked how it kind of ended, how, like, it progressed, I guess, and ended. I think, like, maybe halfway through when they were on Earth. But I don't think it was really, like, worth watching again. And it didn't make me, like, it made me a little more excited for the third one, though, because I was, like, excited for them to, like, it just felt like they could, like... It's very limiting to make a holiday special, so I feel like the tone didn't fit in what they were trying to do. So I was excited to watch, like, I guess, a better version of, like, this, you know, where, like, they actually can go for what they want to go for. Because it felt like they were kind of wanting to do a more of a Guardians thing, but they also had to make it Christmassy. But there was, like, some elements of it, so I, like, some of the music they used I thought was cool, and they kind of carried that through line through where they used Christmas music, but they used, like, Christmas music that was in the eras of the music that they usually use. So it wasn't just, like, the regular Christmas songs that you throw on. So, yeah, I thought it was not awful, but it wasn't, like, very memorable. I think it was just, like, I watched it once, and I laughed, like, a few times, and then I won't think about it again. I probably will forget it exists next year.
Yeah, I just thought it was very silly and like a waste of my time and a waste of like the money they probably put into it. I was like, we could have gotten.
I also felt like Chris Pratt was really phoning it in this. Like, he usually feels like he's phoning it in, but this, like, he didn't feel like at all like his character.
He was also like barely in it.
That's true. Like, and I think the pairing of Drax and Mantis is interesting, but like, maybe they didn't like have enough time to fully develop that because we never have really seen them together much.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Drax especially is very clearly a good comedic relief character, but he's definitely not a leading man. And so to like try to put him in the lead of something, and even Mantis, yeah, who's not a super strong personality character, like, it just doesn't work, I don't think, to have them carry this on their shoulders. Like, I feel like that was kind of a mistake, but I'm sure there was some other, like, Chris Pratt was probably recording, I don't know, Garfield.
Mario. Yeah, and Bradley Cooper was doing the name?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
The guy. Yeah, but what's the composer's name?
The guy.
Shoot.
They're both locked and loaded.
Leonard Bernstein. Yes. Leonard Bernstein. Him.
They both were busy,
interested of how the third one will feel, because I feel like because now Gamora is dead, like, you do lose, like, a big element of what made, like, the team work, you know? Like, they had a lot of, because she was a lot more of, like, brought a lot more drama, I guess. Not in a bad way, but, like, she grounded it a bit, I guess. And now a lot of, like, losing that, we lose a lot more of, like, maybe the more grounded nature. So, I don't know. I'm just interested to see how maybe the dynamic will feel in the third one. But we'll see. I'm still excited. I think the trailer looked really good. So that made me really excited for the third one, too. So we'll see. We'll be reviewing it for sure. So yeah, we'll see how we like it. Maybe we can do, like, a ranking of all three. Christmas Story Christmas. When we were prepping this episode, we took this off the list because we thought for some reason this was a documentary, but then that trailer
dropped.
I thought it was, but then you didn't even remember putting it on the list, so we took it off.
I didn't even know what it was. Yeah.
Apparently, like, I mean, I think it's just interesting that they didn't market it more before it came out, I guess. Like, I didn't hear anything about this movie happening because I feel like that's a pretty big deal, getting a lot of the old actors back. Filming, like, at the same town that the first movie was set in, recreating those sets. Like, I feel like there wasn't as much fanfare around this, even the production of this, like, as I would have expected. So that's why I was surprised, I guess, when I saw the trailer.
Yeah, I think they underestimated how big A Christmas Story is, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe they also, like, saw the movie and they knew, like, it wasn't amazing enough to, like, put a lot of fanfare behind it, but it was good enough to, like, have some of the diehards watch it, because we both love Christmas Story. Like, that's one of our favorite Christmas movies, which I know that isn't true for everyone, but I think it's a great Christmas movie. And yeah, this Christmas movie, it's not, like, technically a good movie, I would say. Like, if you were rating this, like, on a scale of just, like, on its own merits, it probably wouldn't grade great. Like, the acting is pretty subpar. And the lighting is really bad, and it just doesn't look very visually appealing. Like, I think the first movie actually, like, surprisingly is, like, a very, very visually appealing movie for the kind of movie that it is. But it looks very flat and dull. But I think the parts that work for me are some of the reasons, just because, like, I love the original movie. So it was fun to see some of the smaller winks towards the original, because there was obviously some, like, really forced, like, oh, we got to do this bit again and get, so, like, wink at the audience. So those ones were like, okay, yeah, I know. But there was also some smaller winks for, like, the true fans that I thought were some fun callbacks. And it did a better job of maybe that some of the other attempts at making other Christmas Story sequels of feeling like it was a part of the first movie as well, you know? Like, it definitely felt like it was connected to the first movie, and not as, like, a spoiler, but there is, like, a way at the end that they really tie it back to the first movie. And so I think that also helped in making it feel a little bit more like it had a purpose for existing rather than just being a way to make money and like a nostalgia grab. Like, obviously it is a nostalgia grab, but I appreciated that they tried to make it also like have a purpose for existing rather than just being like a trip back to the Christmas story we know and love. I don't think I would ever really like want to watch it again unless I was watching it maybe with someone and they were like, want to watch this? I'm like, okay, sure. Because, like, a lot of the things that I think are funny, I think most of those are just done better in the original movie. Mm. So it's not like there's a ton of reason to watch this one instead. But I would say it is worth a one-time watch, especially if you... I would say only if you like the first one. If you don't like the first one, then there's zero reason to watch this. but if you are a fan of the first one and you are maybe in the mood for something similar, but... You know, you've seen the first one a million times, so you might want a little bit of a variation. Yeah, I would say throw it on. I think the person that plays the mom, because the original actress is retired from acting, and so I think the person that plays the mom, actually, I was impressed, like, how well that she played her. It was a little bit over-exaggerated than the original performance, but I thought it was, like, a good... It was done well enough to make me believe that it was the same person, because that, like, a lot of the same people reprised their roles, so it was definitely a tough task to, like, have her probably go on that set and have to, like, figure out how to, where she fit into the world and, like, figure out, like, how her character would act even though it wasn't her character. Yeah, I would say, you know, for one, it's not the classic we're looking for, but It does fill in the gap of at least this Christmas season's movies that you could watch.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I'll also talk a little bit about Violent Night, which I think we were hoping maybe, at least I was, that this might be not like one of the ones that you might want to rewatch, because a lot of people were saying like kind of like an R-rated version of Home Alone, like a more adult oriented Christmas movie.
And the trailer seemed fun, like, when it came out.
Yeah, it
out.
Seemed fun. And there's not a lot of, like, I would say, mainstream Christmas thrillers or Christmas horror slasher kind of movies. Because we have Black Christmas, but I would not say that Black Christmas is, like, a crowd pleaser. So it fills a gap in the canon of Christmas movies, or mainstream Christmas movies, that, you know, could be interesting, like... A little bit more of like a Die Hard for the 2020s, I guess. I don't know. But
sure.
I would say it definitely is not that. It's very... I think the parts that are in the trailer are fun. Like especially once he gets like his hammer, I guess. Like some of the kills are very creative towards the end of the movie. And there's like some action scenes that are fun to watch. But everything in between and around those is just not very well done. I think pretty much all of the actors, except for the little kid, I think the little girl they got was actually pretty good. But I would say all the other actors felt like they were playing like a budget version of the actor that they would have wanted to get instead, but they probably couldn't afford. So it felt like just like a lot of B-list actors playing like roles that should have been given to other people.
Sure.
All those scenes felt really flat. Like the family dynamics just weren't clicking as I wanted them to. The dialogue and the playback and forth and the humor that was supposed to be in the family dynamic was not as strong. And so it didn't give you a lot of reasons to care about maybe what was going on in the movie or want to stay engaged with the story, because the characters just were all pretty flat and boring, and they didn't really bring the characters to life, like, off the page. So that was, I think, the biggest flaw, was just, like, it felt like it dragged a lot, because all the stuff between the action scenes, which it actually takes a while, I would say, to get to the action. It is very, like, dull, I think, and the characters are not very interesting or compelling. And it is kind of also, like, I thought it was going to be another, like, Eat the Rich kind of thing, because the main family is, like, very rich, and you find out that it is, this is, I guess, slight spoilers, not really, because that doesn't really come into play, but you find out that the, well, the main villain is obviously not rich, and, like, he grew up poor, so that, I mean, that's not really a surprise, I guess, with, like, most main villains in these kind of movies that are, like, trying to rob rich people, like, that's what you would assume. And then, but you find out that a lot of the money that the family gets is because they get money from the government, and, like, they're involved in, like, military weapon making and stuff. Oh. And the villain reveals that, like, in front of the family. And so I thought that was going to lead to some sort of a thing where it was a little bit of a twist, because, like, maybe they're actually not the villains, you know, one of those things. And maybe Santa's going to realize, oh, these people should be on my naughty list, like the family, not these people. And it didn't do that. They were still the bad guys, and the rich people won, and all the money was, I mean, the money wasn't all returned, not a spoiler, but there's, like, it's not like they got all the money back, but they were let go. Like, it wasn't like they were, had to suffer repercussions for their business dealings, and it seemed
for
like everyone kind of was
crimes.
Yeah, it seemed like everyone was kind of like, all right, cool, thanks Santa, peace. And it was a little weird, because it was like, why would you include that plot point if you're not going to, like, do something with it, you know? Unless it would be to feel like you want it to be, like, a pro-military movie. I don't
right.
know. It felt very weird. Like, it was like, Santa, come on, man. These guys should be on your naughty list. Like, and because he has, like, a magical list where he pulls out where he can see if people are nice or naughty. So I was like, oh, he's going to pull out the list when he sees these people who he thinks he's been trying to protect. And it's going to find out, oh, they're naughty. They're the naughty ones that need to be punished, I guess. I don't know. Like, I felt like it was set up perfectly for that kind of movie. And then they just didn't do that. I was like, oh, all right, cool. So Santa is a war criminal too.
He kind of was,
because, like, he was, they revealed, like, he was, like, he, like, fought in a war and, like, killed people with a battle axe or stuff. So he kind of was, like, in battles and killed people. So maybe that was the thing. They're like, man, these are the real heroes, the people that stomp on their enemies and smash them with hammers. That's the real message of Christmas.
That's so funny.
Bottom line, I would not recommend watching Violent Night. It feels like the kind of movie that will be free in the bargain bin, or like $5 in the Walmart bargain bin next year, you know, and it will be destined to live there forever. That's the vibe I get.
It's unfortunate.
David Harbour not able to make the jump to movies, it feels like.
He had a really tough time. He was good in Black Widow.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Yes. Good point. And I mean, I know I'm not a full majority here. I know there's some people that did enjoy this, so it's not getting, like, fully panned like Hellraiser. Was that the other movie?
Yes.
That he did? Yeah. That movie was a fully panned. This is more mixed, so.
Yeah, it's one that I kind of wanted to see, and then obviously you didn't like it, so then I kind of was like, it wasn't on my priority list, and it just was showing a weird time, so I never got around to it. But I'm not too, like, regretful that I didn't get a chance to see it. Although, like, I thought the trailer looked fun, but obviously, like,
yeah.
I did wonder when I watched the trailer if they just, like, put all the good moments in the trailer and the movie
that's
would, like,
what
falter
it feels
because of
like.
That. Because I think a lot of movies end up being that way these days, where it's, like, all the good moments are in the trailer, and you're like, oh, this looks fun, and then you watch it, and you're like, oh, damn, I already saw all the good stuff in the trailer.
Well, especially movies like this that aren't dramas, that are more action-based, that are all based around those moments. And so you're like, did they just put every single good moment in the trailer that the movie is leading to? Or is there more that they're saving? So I think that's the problem with sometimes action trailers or, like, horror trailers, where they can, like, put all the good parts that the movie is supposed to be based around in the trailer.
Sure.
I wrote this out in my Letterboxd review. I'd recommend just watching a Best Kills compilation on YouTube in a few months. I think that will get you all of the Violent Night feeling that you need. And then you wouldn't have to waste a full 2 hours of your life to watch the thing. Let's go to the last three then. Our first one is, I think Netflix was banking on this maybe being their Princess Switched moment.
I think it kind of was.
Yeah, so this is Falling for Christmas.
Yeah, I don't think it had the longevity of the season. It released pretty early on, early November. This is the Lindsay Lohan rom-com. I mean, it seemed pretty popular. I know a lot of people watched this. I saw a lot of people log it, and then I saw other people, obviously, who aren't, like, filmy people in my life also watch it. So I think it got the broad appeal it needed. Obviously, a big fan of Lindsay Lohan. I'm glad that she is, like...
Big Lindsay Lohan guy.
Yeah. I mean, she's so fun, and so, like, I'm glad to see her in things, and I think that was definitely the only redeemable quality about this movie was her being in it, unfortunately. Yeah. I really didn't like this one. I thought it was so... it's been a while since I've seen it, because I watched it, like, when it first came out.
Yeah, it did come out really early.
It was really cringy. Like, that was my main takeaway from it, is I just felt like... I gave it half a star, which is... so horrible of me, probably.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, there was just a lot of really weird, like, I don't know. I thought the one thing that I thought was really good in this one that I feel like maybe isn't as good in some Hallmark movies was the set design, because I think obviously Hallmark doesn't have the same type of budget that a Netflix movie does, and I'm assuming this had a fairly decent sized budget. I thought the set design was great. I loved all the stuff in the lodge place. And I liked the costuming. I thought it worked. So, like, that kind of stuff, like, the atmosphere, I thought was good. I just thought the script was just horrible. The guy that played the guy, Jake, and, like, his real name is Cord Overstreet. Did you know his name is Cord? Did you know that?
He was very bad.
I really cannot understand why he was cast in this, because he wasn't attractive, for one, which normally when you watch, that sounds very shallow of me.
Well, but like, when it's you a watch key a movie, component to these movies.
When you watch these movies, you want to see what you can't have. You know what I mean? Like, that's the nature of these, is like, you're watching it and it's like a really hot dilf who is, you know, that's just what you want to see in these movies. It's how they are. And he was just an average guy, and like, no hate or knocks against the average guy, but like, that's not what I want to see in a Christmas rom-com. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see Chris Evans or someone like along those lines. But he also just was not a good actor, and so I think that made it even worse, because it was like, why did you even cast this guy? If he's not a DILF, and he's not a good actor, like, what is he doing in this movie? Like, why couldn't you choose at least one of them? Like, if I have to sacrifice the guy being a DILF, then at least he's a good actor. But if he's not a good actor, I at least want him to be a DILF, but then he didn't hit either box. So it was like, what are we doing here? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's like, there's a whole subplot with Lindsay Lohan's fiance, and like, he meets this ice fishing dude, and I thought that was going to lead somewhere more, and then they like drop it for 30 minutes.
That was a weird plot line. Also, like, that character was so queer coded that, like, at first I didn't even realize he was a fiance. I thought he was like the gay assistant or something. And so I was like really confused with the whole like fiance thing, because I was like, wait, you're telling me that this guy is not gay? Like, I'm very confused.
He definitely
here.
Is. Well, I thought he was going to fall for the ice fishing guy. And I was like,
that's what I thought.
That's kind of nice.
Missed but then opportunity the ice fishing, for sure.
The ice fishing guy just bolted. He was gone. So that was also weird. And we could talk about the Lindsay Lohan of it. Like, I thought she was fine. Like, it wasn't like she had to do anything extraordinarily different than someone else would have to do in a movie like this. But she definitely is, like, was the best actress in the movie or actor.
Sure.
And I mean, like, I think she signed for a bigger deal. Like, she's going to make at least two more movies on Netflix. I'm not sure if they'll be. I mean, I assume they won't be in this series, but probably in this vein of these kind of movies.
Yeah, kind of comedy type. Yeah, I want to read Andy's. Andy watched this. Andy Geyerson.
Okay.
I want to read his Shout review of this because I think it's funny. He said, Lindsay Lohan is a social media influencer working in a town where nobody recognizes her. Hashtag Christmas fail. Which is so funny because they do play the like amnesia plotline, which is a common Christmas plotline trope. But it is funny, the fact that she was a social media influencer and that nobody was like, oh yeah, this is who you are. Or like recognized
right,
her.
Right, yeah. Well, maybe because they're like, this is a small town and people here aren't concerned with
social
the shallow
media.
With the shallow things of like social media and Twitter. Yeah, I think it was, I would have liked to see a little bit more originality, and I hope maybe the another one she does is a little bit more like, not like R-rated, but maybe like PG-13. I don't know, because I feel like she can be really funny, and all of these jokes and these kind of movies have to be really like toned down, obviously, because they're for families, and The Falling for Christmas is just one of the worst titles that they could have picked, because she falls down the hill and hits her head. And that also the green screen in that scene, atrocious. Netflix should be embarrassed for that scene.
They should be embarrassed about this whole movie. Speaking of embarrassments, the Santa Clauses. This is the new Disney Plus show, basically reboot of the Santa Claus movies, featuring Tim Allen. And
his wife, who's that actress's name? I don't know.
I don't remember. I'm not good with
his wife from the second and third. Yeah, we've only watched the first two episodes of this because this is a show, which I think some people were confused about leading up to it. Like, is this a show? Is this a movie? I personally think they should have done a movie because it just would have worked.
Oh, I 100% agree. I watched the first episode and then part of the second episode. And the whole time I was just thinking, like, this would have sold so much better as a movie. Like, yes. I don't really understand why they did a show. That decision is kind of strange to me. I think it also would have been, like, more popular if it was a movie. Because it doesn't, shows, unless there's something, like, really, really good, no one's going to sit down and watch all six episodes of it, especially not like a family with kids.
Exactly. The family thing is crazy because a family, this is made for families to watch who love the first three and who are like, oh yeah, more Santa Claus. But usually we are advocates for the episode per week kind of thing. But it's like no family is going to be waiting every week. Like, oh, let's watch the next episode of the Santa Clauses. Like, it's just not a good call by, I'm assuming Tim Allen probably was like a big producer, so probably him.
Yeah.
Is one of the people that
made it, really weird decision. I as far as the plot goes, it's fine. I'm just,
yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know what else they could have done, you know, like, it's the only thing.
Here's my issue. This is a plot that has come up multiple times in Christmas movies over the years, and I'm not a fan because I feel like it looks down on kids these days where it's kind of like, oh, people have lost their Christmas spirit. Like, because we live in a modern culture and people are on social media and they have other things to do and other things to focus on, like, no one cares about Christmas and no one has Christmas spirit anymore. And
yeah,
I feel like
it's not a good plot line.
I just feel like it doesn't work because it's not true. And I, like, look at kids that I work with who, you know, I just talked to kids today who are 9 and 10 and 11.
Who are excited for Christmas.
And they believe in
Santa.
I've
never met one
they still
kid
believe
who
in
isn't
Santa.
Excited for Christmas.
They're excited for Christmas. They like are talking about Christmas movies. They're wearing Christmas shirts. And like, yeah. I just feel like the people who make these movies are like older people. And they just like look down on the young people of the world today, and they're like, kids don't go outside anymore, kids don't believe in Santa Claus. And I feel like it's a plot that doesn't work, and I think that's my main issue with this. I know that a lot of it also focuses on Santa being like, he's lost his, you know, passion too.
Yeah, well,
but
in the second episode, did you get to the part where they find out like the VR, the kid is like not in a virtual world, like he's like living in like another, in like Michigan or something. I don't know what state it
no.
was. No. Because I thought that that was maybe, obviously we've only seen two episodes and like it could go further this way. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. That's what my hope would be. Is so like the second episode, I guess the first episode too, a big deal is made of how his son is always wearing his virtual reality headset and is stuck in like his own world. And I was rolling my eyes like, what a stupid, like of all of like the jokes you could have gone with, you gone with the most basic joke about like the Gen Z, like that they're wearing all working VR goggles, which is not true because they cost $400, like the ones he's wearing. But what you find out is the kid is not like playing like video games or whatever. Like he's living like a life in like the, like a suburban town. And so okay. It's like the kids aren't like, they're find out like their kids are like really unhappy living in the North Pole. Cause it's not very like a, it's not a good place to raise kids. And they're just like not, they don't, can't live a normal life. So I think it might maybe would maybe, and like, that was a realization for him. Cause he thought like, oh, our kids are like the kids of the world are not believing in Christmas and everything's awful now. But I think it what that was a realization for him, and that's what made him want to retire. Spoilers, I guess, for first two episodes of the Santa Clauses. And maybe that might be something that they explore more. Like he finds it like it's just obviously you get to a certain age at a job like if you there was a Santa Claus at that job where it's just like. I mean, in any job where you're working with kids, like when you get older, you might get more curmudgeonly, I guess, and not be able to relate as much to that generation. So maybe they'll go more that direction because that was like the one thing where the whole episodes, first and second, were just like, this is like the most like Fox News oriented show that I maybe could have imagined. like it's just so overhanded about. Oh, how Christmas is not even appreciated anymore. You can't even, they literally, they say like, you can't even say Merry Christmas anymore, which is, again, not true. Because literally I hear people say Merry Christmas every day. But that gave me like, I was like, maybe they're going to do that.
Well, yeah, like literally all these other Christmas movies we've talked about, half of them have Christmas in the title.
Like, yeah, Christmas Story, Christmas, Falling for Christmas.
Christmas Mystery, Christmas Carol, Christmas Hollywood Mystery, Christmas. Hollywood Christmas.
Like, what is he talking about?
Well, what is so, did you see the controversy about the Satan thing?
I did.
Okay,
that is
what I thought was really interesting and funny about this, because like, Tim Allen is very problematic, obviously. A lot of people that would be Fox News supporters probably still like him. But there's a lot of people who, because he is problematic, think he's problematic. And you can see that kind of shine in this series. And it's weird to me that Disney Plus even gave him this platform in the first place. I guess it's not that weird because Disney is its own problem.
Yeah, and I would say he's like definitely like, he's done enough where he's on the line. Like, he's not done anything where people can say, like, he's officially canceled. And he's old enough where it's, like, there's still an audience. And, like, it's to the point where, like, he's kind of uncancelable. I mean, I think no one is cancelable, really.
Yeah.
Unless, like, you're, like, Harvey Weinstein. But I just feel like he's at the point where he's, like, too established to the point where, like, I don't know. It just seems it's in a different category.
Yeah, but what's so funny to me about it is that they did this, like, Satan joke, I guess, which actually mm-hmm. I think is clever. They, like, I guess they spell Santa wrong on the signs, and it says, like, welcome Satan or something like that, which is funny.
Yeah.
But, like, this caused insurmountable backlash from the alt-right conservative crowd. And it's funny to me that, like, of all the people, like, this show is clearly catered towards them. And so
right.
it made me laugh that they're kind of funny. Mad about this because like all these other jokes are for them. Like the Merry Christmas joke is for them and like that kind of stuff. So it just cracked me up that like obviously Tim Allen is gearing it towards that audience, but then like this one joke and they're all like, oh, cancel Disney. I'm going to cancel my Disney Plus.
Well, here's the I think too, not like I'm a Tim Allen supporter. Well, I'm not a Tim Allen supporter. Okay, so it's not like I am. I do think he's not on that line where it's like QAnon kind of stuff. I think that's not the kind, just that's just not the kind of, I guess, crowd that he gears himself to, is the QAnon crowd. So I do think, like, he definitely has, like, huge troll energy. And so that might also be, I think, part of it, where he obviously a lot of the time is trying to troll, like, what he sees as, like, woke people, you know? Mm-hmm. Where he's trying to trigger woke people with, like, oh, they're going to hate this joke where I said about they can't say Merry Christmas. Like, but I think there also might be an element where, like, he also knows that there's also people who would get really mad about the Satan thing. And that just is the kind of person that... So I feel like that might be, like, it might have been an intentional thing, too, because... I mean,
oh, I'm sure it was, but I just think it's funny probably, that, like,
it is funny. And I thought that was when I didn't see that episode. When I saw that, I was like, okay, that's kind of funny because that has to be intentional because it's almost impossible now to not know, I guess, that some people think like Disney equals the devil. So I know it's a little, I think it's a funny troll for the Facebook crowd out there. I don't, and it's got some traction.
I mean,
too,
I thought
so
it
we'll
was
see.
Funny when I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's great.
Yeah, but this is basically, like, I would not recommend this by any means. I mean, I like the first Santa Claus movie for the most part. I mean, it's definitely not my favorite, like, Christmas movie, or probably not.
I'll keep watching until Bernard comes, because I just need to see Bernard again. That's my, I'm just waiting to see my man, and I know that he won't come with a boyfriend, but, you know.
He should, though.
But he'll come.
Our queer icon, Bernard, the elf.
Also, could they have made... Did you get to the part where you saw Charlie?
No.
Oh, man. They made Charlie, like, the most basic-ass, like, white guy ever. Like, living in Florida. And they quoted him definitely Republican as well. It was very unfortunate. A very unfortunate path for Charlie to have taken. But,
anti-mask,
you know.
Voted for DeSantis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, he lives in Florida, I think, so.
Yeah, so.
You know.
Like,
of all the places.
Florida.
Let's move on to our final film here, which I think is probably the biggest, even though Violent Night was the only theater release, I would say this is the biggest, most high-profile release of the year. It's really the only one I saw people, like, posting about, like, when they were on set for it, because
okay,
I know they
sure.
were filming at certain places. This is Spirited, Apple TV's, like, first big holiday movie. Because I know they did, like, some Snoopy stuff, like, some Charlie mm-hmm. Brown stuff. But I don't think they've done, like, a full Christmas movie like this one until now.
Yeah, and just, a big... I mean, they've had a few pretty popular movies. But, like, you know, obviously having two major A-list actors leading
right.
your movie and, like, making it a high-budget musical, like... I mean, it's not out of the ordinary for them, but it definitely feels like a new step for them in general
yeah.
doing this type of movie. And this is one that has been advertised since the summer. I think a lot of these other movies kind of just started getting advertised right before Christmas. But this is one that's, like, been on my list as, like, my radar since, like, early
yeah.
summer, basically.
Yeah, and my mom was the one that actually, like, recommended, like, oh, why don't you watch this? Like, so I think... It's definitely was getting pushed to a lot of people, and people are being made aware of it, which I don't think, like you said, is very true for a lot of these, like, A Christmas Mystery really isn't getting pushed to people. They're just putting it on HBO Max and hope people that are looking, search Christmas on HBO Max are like,
are gonna click
A Christmas
on it.
Mystery.
Yeah.
So it's, like, one of the ones that I think had, like, marketing behind it and two big stars, like you said. You were when you watched it, but I guess when you were leading up to it, like, were you always aware this was a musical or not?
Yes, I was aware this was
okay,
a musical.
Okay, because I was not until they started singing.
Okay.
So I was like, I mean, and that's not a bad thing because I like musicals, but I was just like, oh.
Well, did you not see that clip that was on, I think it was like sound trended on TikTok for a while of them doing this?
I saw that there was clips of them on the street. I didn't watch it because anything with Ryan Reynolds, I usually just
okay.
Like,
there's
passed,
like
so.
There was like a TikTok sound I think of them singing from this that like went around.
Okay,
like I knew right. that it was a musical. I didn't know that it would be as musically
this much
heavy
of a musical?
As it was.
Yeah, it really feels like a stage play that they made a movie. The amount of songs and stuff, like, it feels like this is an adaptation. I was surprised when I looked it up, because I was like,
yeah.
I just forgot, didn't know that this was a real musical, because it feels, like, made to be, like, on Broadway.
Yeah.
Which isn't like a good thing always, but like it just feels like they made this like this has to be Broadway show.
Yeah, it definitely, I mean, the numbers felt like that. I think one of my biggest issues with it was that like all the numbers were so big and it was like they were all full songs. And I think in musicals that aren't stage plays, obviously, like a movie musical, not every song has to be a 5 minute like ballad or a 5 minute like massive group number. Like, I think one or two is the sweet spot for, like, big group numbers, because then they're kind of iconic. And then you sort of have all these other, like, maybe, like, a small reprise and then, like, a little other song. But, like, I felt like the mega overkill. I felt like multiple songs could have been trimmed out. And, like, by the end, all the songs sounded exactly the same. Like, I don't know if they were writing in the same key. Maybe
it's the Dear Evan Hansen people, the Greatest Showman people. They need to be not hired again.
Oh, is that who wrote this?
Yes.
Oh, that makes so much more sense now.
And figure out a way to make different kind of songs.
Everything makes sense now. Because I was like... Every single one of these songs sound the same, and I couldn't figure out if, like, I didn't look up who wrote it, but I was like, the melodies of each song sound the same, and I was like, I kept asking myself, like, is this a reprise of a song that was done earlier? Are we just, like, on the same, like, wavelength with it, or are we using this, are we in the same key? Like, that was my main...
Definitely a lot of the same keys.
Yeah, and so that makes a whole world of sense that you just said that they did that. That's so funny. that was my biggest complaint, I think. I think there were parts of the story that did work. I thought that there were some funny things that I laughed at, but I think overall it just was really like cringy. I think it could have been shortened by like maybe 25 minutes, especially if they trim out some of the songs, and it could have been a lot better. I don't know how did you feel about it?
I think I liked it a bit more than you. I definitely think it had a lot more potential than it ended up
having
at the end. You were saying the Hallmark movie you most liked when you were describing it, I felt like it felt a lot like this. So it's interesting that like there's two like Christmas behind the scene Christmas Carol movies that came out this year.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, I guess, really interesting because it was a cool twist on Christmas Carol. And it was fun. I wish they had actually done a little more with that because they kind of like drop a lot of the side characters after the first half hour. I was like, oh, I kind of like Will Ferrell's funny, but it would have been funny to have like it be a little bit more ensemble than like a two-hander. Yeah. And I mean, Ryan Reynolds, like he's playing the same character that he always plays. Like sometimes he's funny, sometimes he's just really annoying, whatever. But I think, like you said, there is just a lot of songs. It's almost feels like every time there could be a song, there is. Like every time in the movie where you're like, there's an opportunity to have maybe a song, then there is a song. And I thought some of them were really good, but I think there was like too many to have some of them stand out.
Yeah, I think
I only really remember the Good Afternoon song, which was obviously made to be like
the song.
A very iconic, like, meme. Like, not meme, but, like, a thing where, like, people say that. Like, that is, like, the title they put on the billboard. Or, like, the playbill. Like, that's, like, they have the title, they have, like, Good Afternoon. That's, like, the tagline of the show is Good Afternoon.
Which
okay?
I think so it's unfortunate that they had so many other big numbers that I feel like it made that number worse. Because I do think that was a good number, but then I think when you're doing all these other big numbers, that one kind of gets lost in the mix, and I think it would have been more impactful for like that number to stand out a little more, but then they're constantly like, oh, here's another one. So
yeah, and a lot of ones that don't have a lot of fanfare, but it's just like they're still long. So it would be fine if they sang like four lines and then we're done. Like that one Will Ferrell sings in the beginning, like I don't need a whole song.
Yeah, that did not
of him saying the exact same
song.
Thing.
Oh my gosh.
It's like it's like I get exactly what he's saying.
I was really
in the
worried
first
30 the first
seconds.
Like 15 minutes of this movie. I was like,
I texted you. I was like, don't worry, it gets better. The first half hour I was like, I can't believe this is 2 hours
I also
long.
Thought his final number, his final ballad, was also really weird. Like, that they did in, the sound stage and, like, all the extra, like, the ensemble singers had, like, the Iron Man hands, and they're, like, moving their hands around with, like, the...
Was that on the street?
No. The ballad where he's, like, trying to decide if he's gonna retire, and they're in the soundstage.
Too many ballads in this song,
and he's, like,
I gotta
singing,
say.
And the movie. Iron Man hands, the people who are, like, doing their arms up and down, and they've got, like, the lights on their palms that look like Iron Man. Yeah, that I didn't like that one. I felt like... Each
well, Will Ferrell
every
doesn't,
time,
doesn't have a good enough voice to have the that many
no.
ballads.
I felt like every time there was like an actually good emotional beat, it was like ruined by turning that into a song. And I felt like sometimes they could have just acted out the emotional beats instead of it being like a ballad.
Right. Because I thought that Will Ferrell, they actually did a good job of not making them both be the full comedy relief. Like Will Ferrell was actually, for the most part, pretty much the dramatic role, right? He had a couple bits, but I feel like they did a good job kind of balancing that, where Ryan Reynolds did take a lot of the comedy, and so it didn't feel like either of them were really stepping on each other's tones or anything. So I would have just, and I thought he did, Will Ferrell did like a good job with the acting, so I would have liked, like you said, maybe just give him a little more space to do that without jumping right to a song at the first moment. I also think there is a crazy last 15 minutes for this movie as well that I did not see coming. that is like a real like whiplash moment, no pun intended, where you're just like, what is happening? And I mean, it makes sense, but it also feels like it just was like a weird, it still feels
a
like
weird
a weird ending,
for sure.
It really throws you off and you're like, oh, I mean, I guess like, in the full context of the story,
it makes sense.
That works, but it just was like really like, of all of a sudden, like what?
Here's
what
the thing
what just happened?
That was really crazy to me, that I was like shocked by, is this little boy like killing himself? Like,
wait,
that,
when did that happen?
That
the little
is
boy
like.
Kill himself? Oh, right. Right, no, I remember.
Where this whole thing,
that's what they had to
like,
stop.
That
yes,
was the
I remember.
Consequence, is this kid, like, kills
himself. That was
himself.
Crazy. There was a, that was a little like, bit of a weird cancel culture, like, side plot as well in this
that
movie.
That was so, like, I could not, but I am still floored when I think about it.
That was a wild moment.
Because it was
yes.
basically just like, what is happening right now? And it's like, wait a second. like
yes,
it just,
I had the exact same reaction.
That,
I was like, why are they here?
Like, yeah, it, that was, I felt like that was not in good taste at all. I get what they were trying to do, but I kind of was like, it felt very
I feel
strange
like
to me and very like,
yeah.
insensitive, and like that was just something that I feel like they should have had a different motivator. That was just like really
also like it did have that weird sense of like, see guys, cancel culture is bad because it leads
again,
to suicide, where it's like it's,
movies written by people
like,
who
what are we talking about here?
Yeah,
what are we
I
doing?
Mean, there definitely were a few jokes that I think they thought would land with, like, Gen Z that didn't. Like, they had, like, they called the First Lady Karen, and, like, they had, like, a boomer joke, and, like, I feel like it's people who, like, it's not funny anymore. And, like, OK Boomer was, like, literally, like, a three-month trend that happened, and so, like, it's not a thing anymore, so if people say boomer, it's, like, That's not a joke anymore that lands. So like it's very like older millennial, like
very
like
old millennial and
writing these jokes.
Early and young Gen X, like very like centrist liberal.
Yeah, like it. Yes, 100%. And like I just feel like people need to start getting Gen Z on their writing teams and like being like, oh yeah, this joke actually is like old hat and like won't hit anymore.
I just feel like, yeah, there needs to be less jokes based on pop culture and more just jokes based on type of
like,
humor.
Like, I laughed
out
loud
pop-
at the, like, when he came in and the guy was dressed as Buddy. Like, I thought that was really funny, where he was like, you
no,
look so
yeah,
stupid.
Exactly.
And it's like, you gotta go with jokes like that, because I feel like then too, especially, I mean, even now, like, it's already out of style, but if you think, like, 4 or 5 years down the road, even like if someone watches this, like it, that isn't funny anymore. It's definitely not going to be funny then. So I don't understand why people have to make jokes that are like like modern pop culture references. Like, I think you can just be funny without...
Yeah, well, they are... It's too much, like, referencing jokes in the culture, like, specific jokes. They need to just take... Like you said, if they had a Gen Z writer, it would take, like, the, I don't know, the essence of what makes it funny and make another kind of joke. Like, either very, like ironicism or just, like, some... I don't know, just, like... The kind of humor that younger people find funny now, but not like the exact jokes that they find funny. Because by the time you get the movie out, that joke is going to be gone. And I think it's always that way. Like, I just feel like this hasn't been much of a trend to, like, I don't watch 80s movies and I'm like, man, that obviously was like a joke that I don't understand because that was popular then. Like, I feel like it's a very more recent thing where people just don't know the kind of humor that they are trying to write for, so they just take the exact joke rather than
like, which is again like I feel like why younger writers need to be in writers' rooms, because I just think like at this point older writers don't understand. I mean, even sometimes I don't understand Gen Z humor.
Yeah,
I,
right.
Like, am Gen Z, so I'm like.
Well, and I mean, I feel like that's why people love like. I mean, we are been talking a lot about The White Lotus off air. And like Succession, like there's shows like that where I think you have to have a very, it's all about the tone of the joke and just like, no, you can tell when the writer understands the tone, but isn't trying to like make you think they understand the tone, if that makes sense. Like they're not trying to project their relevancy onto the audience. Like it has to come across as natural.
And I think you can't rely on TikTok to make your jokes because TikTok trends change so quick that it's
well, exactly. That's why you can't do specific jokes because it's like the okay boomer joke.
It just does not work.
Maybe the script could have been starting to been written 3 years ago and they write the okay boomer joke in during that 3 months when it's popular, but then like they don't take it out after because it's just in the script, but like it's not funny anymore, guys. Like, if you say, okay, boomer, then you're maybe not a boomer now. Like, I feel like that's like, it's like, okay, person that says, okay, boomer.
There were some really weird jokes about, like, HR and stuff. And I was like, I don't know that these are the right jokes to be making. Like, I just feel like, I just feel like a lot of the stuff didn't work, but then there was some stuff that did, but it was those things that made the movie not work for me.
I will say it was kind of funny. We were just talking about the Santa Clauses, how that is weaponizing a lot of like the feeling that people don't like Christmas anymore. And so like that's fueling there. I did like in Spirited how they kind of called out the fact that that is like a con in itself, in like a money-making scheme in itself by Ryan Reynolds using that same playbook and being like, guys, people don't love Christmas anymore, so you have to buy these Christmas trees that are from this Christmas tree lot because that is how you can save Christmas. Like, I thought there was some smart things in there, like where it was like, that's a very good joke that is like very funny. But I would say, you know, it is worth a watch, I think, especially if you have like family around and you're looking for something new to watch. Because like I think don't know how much it would be enjoyable to watch this on your own. Because it's just like, I feel like watching musicals alone sometimes is kind of awkward because you're just sitting there and people are singing and you're like,
I mean, I don't think I'm ever gonna watch this again. I think it's fine. Like if you're looking for something new that's holiday related, like if you want a new movie, but it's not something that's like gonna be a add this to the yearly watch.
I mean, I would say, ending it off, this is the best new Christmas movie I've seen this year, and I only gave it 3 stars. So it's like, I guess that tells you about the Christmas slate this year. Definitely lackluster.
I gave it 2.5, I think.
Which still seems like one of your higher ones.
Yeah, I guess out of all of these, I think... I don't know. I guess the Christmas mystery one was good, but that's like such a weird vibe. And I didn't like the whole cop plot line. So it's like kind of hard because that's like the whole movie. So it's kind of weird. But like, I don't know. I just think this movie was a flop year. There's a few Hallmark movies that I have enjoyed. So I call it a win on the Hallmark front.
Yeah.
Actually, watch tonight, the very first gay Hallmark movie is going to be playing.
Oh, man. So maybe that will save the Christmas season.
Maybe it will.
Come to save Christmas.
But yeah, it's kind of disappointing. There wasn't a whole lot of like great ones that came out last year. I know we were disappointed by quite a few. We had 8-Bit Christmas was kind of the main standout.
I think
8-Bit
Christmas is better than any of the ones that we talked about today.
Yeah. Sure. So I'm hoping, like, maybe next year, maybe this is just the flop year. You know what I mean? Like, Christmas is in its flop era. And then next.
So that's a joke they could have put in Spirited that wouldn't. That
Christmas is in his flop era.
Fell out its. No, that's what they could have said that if Santa had said that in the Santa Clauses.
I would have laughed.
I would have been like, okay, that's pretty funny.
But I think,
yeah, remember,
you know,
Love Hard from last year?
That was
what a film.
Not good. I think, you know, next year we'll have the Chris Evans, The Rock movie, and I'm excited for whatever that is going to be, Christmas action. So I don't know. You never know. Maybe next year will be the comeback era of Christmas, but I think this year
Christmas
was
isn't
not
its
it.
Its comeback era. Yeah.
Yeah. The Taylor Swift version.
The Taylor
Christmas Taylor's
Christmas
version.
Taylor's version.
That's a good joke. They should have put that in Spirited.
That is funny. We should have written Spirited, I think. I think that is usually what our episodes usually become. Is like
we should have written this movie. I could tweet that probably. This year Christmas is in its flop era. Next year Christmas Taylor's version.
yeah. Let's get that. That's a viral tweet right there. Maybe our question should be: do you think people have watched enough 2022 Christmas movies to ask what is your favorite 2022 Christmas movie?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I feel like most people watched, like, I saw quite a few people log Violent Night. I saw some people log Falling for Christmas, so.
Yeah. Or we could even say, or special, if people want to say Guardians, like, there's that. And I'm sure there's been a couple of specials on Disney Plus, like, we did, like, the Hip Hop Christmas or whatever. I remember,
there was, like, Nutcracker Hip Hop something or other. I removed it from our list because I was like, neither of us need to watch
that
this.
That gives Jingle Jingle vibes.
Flop era, for sure. what if we get Jingle Jangle Taylor's version?
Jingle again.
Oh, but you know what? The question should be favorite holiday movie. Like, we can't say Christmas anymore. So
yes, you're right. Oh, right. People can't even say Christmas anymore.
Which is so
what are we
funny
doing?
Because I was thinking about how, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy special was called the holiday special to probably, like, I don't know, not have that ordeal, but, like, it was a Christmas special, so why not just call it the Christmas special? Because it's like, if you're not including other holidays, just call it Christmas. Like,
because Disney is doing so much work to promote diverse and other creators and other cultures, and I think that people just aren't respecting that. So yeah,
you're so right.
Okay, yeah, what's your favorite 2022 holiday film?
I
think Spirited is more popular than we
I feel like
most people are a little bit hotter on it than definitely you were. But,
well, I
you know,
think
maybe
it's
someone
an age
will pull
thing
out.
Because the people that I know that liked it are millennials. No offense to
millennials.
Millennials,
or like my grandma liked it, and she's like she is a boomer. So there you go. So maybe it is for the boomers.
My mom didn't really like it, actually. She thought it was kind of cringy.
Does she like musicals usually?
Yeah, she's a musical fan.
Okay.
And she she thinks Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds are funny, but I don't know. She didn't really like it.
I feel like most moms think Ryan Reynolds is funny. Like, I feel like Ryan Reynolds and Post Malone are, like, the mom artists
of this generation.
Oh, my God.
I don't think my mom knows who Post Malone is.
I just feel like...
I do think she
finds
Will Ferrell funnier than Ryan Reynolds, though.
But if your mom heard a Post Malone song on the radio so it was clean, like, if your mom heard Circles, I think she'd be like, oh, man, what's this song? I don't know. I just think Post Malone has a thing.
Maybe I should play Circles.
Let's test the theory. Yeah, play Circles. Let's see. Question of the week. Does Kayla's mom like Circles? Okay. I think, yeah, you can answer that question, not the Circles one, the holiday movies one, on Spotify. If you're listening, there's a feature to answer there, but you can also answer on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, our website, email. Everything is in the show notes, so you can answer that there, and then we will read that in our next episode, which will see us taking to the seas with James Cameron as we watch the soon-to-be classic film Avatar: The Way of Water.
Wow.
I am very excited for this movie. Reviews are looking great. James Cameron on the interview trail with some great quotes every day. I wake up and I see what is the last thing that happened at the 1975 show and what was the last thing that James Cameron said in his interview. And that's like kind of my news for the day. Those are the two things that I check when I wake up. And I'm really excited for Avatar. I know that you're not a huge... I mean, I know that you're not like super excited for it, but I do think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, and I just am indifferent. Like, I'm not excited, but I also just don't really care as much, I guess.
Are you going to give Avatar a rewatch before?
Oh God, I feel like I have to. I mean, I haven't seen it in.
Yeah, I feel like you have. Like, if you've seen it already, I feel like there's no harm in watching it in chunks because you're just more watching it just to get re-updated on the story. Like, you've already watched it fully, you know?
I might just throw it on, you know, while I'm doing some stuff.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, if you're just looking for the plot points, like, it's not plot the entire movie. So there's parts where you can zone out a little bit if you're not watching just for, like, the spectacle, I guess. So, yeah, I think I would recommend at least, like, viewing it casually once just so you can get up to date on the story, because apparently the second one is even more, like, I don't know, expansive. So I'm very excited. I can't wait to be awed by the power of cinema once again.
Yeah, and then after that we'll break for a few weeks.
Right now we have at least 2 weeks, and we'll see what we can find if there's something in a third decide. Week, you know, maybe someone will die and we'll want to make an episode on them. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Well, maybe just a little, maybe like a retrospective. I don't know. Maybe Ryan Reynolds
Why
will die and we'll have
like...
to watch all the, rewatch the Deadpool films.
Jesus.
His
I
last
haven't seen
movie,
Deadpool,
Spirited.
So I will not be
it's
rewatching
not worth the
Deadpool.
Time. Not worth the time.
Yeah. If
Will you
if
watch Jim... Deadpool 3 though? That's the question.
I'll probably watch Deadpool 3, and I'll probably have to watch Deadpool 1 and 2 to watch Deadpool 3.
Sorry.
But yeah, I think January will be a fun little month to do maybe some less serious things.
Yeah, we should talk about Megan, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that might be a fun one, you know.
Sure.
Very low stakes. Isn't the new Scream coming out next year already?
I think in March. Wow, Megan comes out January 6th.
Okay, yeah. Wait, January 6th?
Yep.
Megan started the insurrection. Insurrection, that one. It is too late. Yeah, that's a good conspiracy theory we should try to float.
Great. We need to end this episode, so...
Yeah, we do. happy holidays, because you can't say Merry Christmas anymore.
God damn
and
it.
And until next time... I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla. And we're
your secondhand
film
critics.
I feel like I gotta add, you just got Christmas caroled, bitch.
What is that from?
From Spirited. Tracy Morgan was like, you just got Christmas caroled, bitch.
That's a millennial joke if I ever heard one.